live and local with Monica J. 99.1 is FM Talk.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I am so glad. That's my chair, actually. Grinding. It wasn't my bones. It was actually my chair. Oh, so glad you joined us today. We are local FM Talk for all of Northern Nevada. So glad you are here indeed. Log on to www.991fmtalk.com today. Answer our poll question. Will the impeachment trial in the Senate produce any new results? Yes or no, it's just another waste of time and our money. Guess which one I chose? Take a wild guess. You can also email me at monica@991fmtalk.com or whatever's on your mind for this manic Monday. I'm going to try to make it a little less manic for you, because if you get to talk, if you get to use your voice, well, it's like a breath of fresh air. You know, it's that inhale deeply and just blow it all out. Use your voice, get it off of your chest, and give us a call at 884-9910. I have a wonderful guest today, a gentleman who, he got his frustration off his chest. And so what did he do? He went out and he did something about it. I know you've heard his name. Because I'm like, I think probably the last in the whole area to actually talk to him on the air. But that's okay. Good things come to those who wait. Grant Denton is my guest today, and he is the founder and the creator of the Karma Box. Grant, yep. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
How did your story get started?
My story.
Your story.
I'm a former drug addict. I was formerly homeless. And I think every story starts in childhood. Have you ever talked to a partner, Pat, that...
Pat Cashel.
Yeah. I think most stories start in childhood. And it's how we learn to cope with things, mm-hmm. right? So the long and short of it is an inability to cope with life or understand my role in my life.
Reality, because everybody's life is different.
And you have to understand what your mechanisms are for coping and what the role you play in your life. A lot of times I think when we get sick, when I say sick, I mean addicted or homeless, or when we start to spiral down, it's an inability of understanding our role in our lives. A lot, you know, we're not taking responsibility or ownership of our things. And this, to a certain extent, mm-hmm. That was mine. Bad things were happening to me, right? And when you're a kid, you're not responsible. You can't be responsible for some things that happen to you when you're 11, right? You can't be responsible for an abusive home. You're a kid, right?
Yeah.
But as you learn, we should be able to grow how to handle, learn and grow. As we learn and grow, we should be able to learn how to handle these things.
Well,
properly.
And as society, though, we should also have support systems around us that we look at the kids and we should be able to tell. We should be able to see the hollow look on their faces. We should be able to, you know, tell by their gestures, not wanting to stand next to certain people, shrugging away. You know, the church scandals wouldn't have gone as far as they went if we had really focused on the kids.
Well, one thing also is that, like, we learn to present well, right? So we learn something's happening at home, and we'll do our best to present well and try to, like, not act that as something's happened to us. And I think that, like, and then by the time something happens, it might be, you can never say too late. It's never too late. But I would have teachers when I was coming up and junior high and high school that were like, you're going to either end up dead or in prison. You're going to end up dead or in prison. And with that mindset, they're right.
Yeah. Thanks, Teach.
Yeah. And at a certain point, I started to believe them. So I started heading down a dead or in prison road. And that road led me to a drug addiction. I was addicted to heroin and meth for 9 years. And then 3 of those 9 years, homelessness. And when you're in that condition, part of it is a criminal mindset, right? We don't. I'm not employable. I'm not employable, and I was. All I wanted to do was feed this addiction.
Yeah.
Because that's all that. That's the closest thing to me, right? It was my addiction that was mine. Yeah. You know, it's all I had.
And so, I can say I know because my father used to cook it and okay. use it, and he was the big shot. Because everybody knew that they could go to him.
Yeah.
And yeah, not employable, not didn't want to work 9 to 5, didn't want to be that society
yeah.
person.
And well, and you tend to move towards things that you're good at. And mm-hmm. so if I'm doing something for a while and I start to get good at burglaries and I start to get good at, you know, you're good at drugs, you're good at these, that you're going to move towards it. And if somebody offers something up, you're like, hey, man, why don't you just get a job? What, a real job? Are mm-hmm. you serious? You know, it doesn't. Things like that don't make sense to once you've, you know, go down that road for a little bit. And so that's, I was there for a little while. And then, yeah.
Did you find your, how to put this? I'm not a psychologist. I will put that, you know, right out there. I'm not an armchair psychologist. But from your experience, did you find from the drugs and how they took over and the mindset of doing what you were doing, did you also feel that, how not to offend anybody, going mental, that you were losing those faculties to be able to come back?
So the longer you do it, so here's the thing, because I work with recovering addicts, like that's, and I work with the homeless and addicted population, and anybody that I mentor or that I work with, we have to point out that the. If you stand outside and you watch a shadow, the shadow is going to stretch from one end of the parking lot to the next. And the reason it's doing that is because the earth is moving. The universe is rotating. And the second that we stop moving, the cosmos will punish us. And how they punish yeah. us is with depression, with anxiety, with things like that, because we're not evolving with the universe. You have to evolve. You have to do things. You have to keep challenging yourself and moving forward. And not only... if you're stagnant, I'm not talking about just doing drugs. So just stop doing things.
Yeah.
If you have a failure to thrive, you will start to regress mentally, right? Emotionally mm-hmm. and spiritually. That's it. You must evolve. You have to do things and you have to challenge yourself. And if you don't, then you'll regress. That's why you see people that are 40 years old, stuck in the same gig, 50 years old, not doing anything, not challenging ourselves. I'm not saying like with career, and maybe at a certain point we get comfortable in a career, but what about developing new hobbies and going out and doing things and hiking and growing spiritually? And nobody can scale that, but mm-hmm. but you know, and so yeah, when you
and once, depression and paranoia are debilitators.
Oh, they most certainly are. I absolutely, and the longer, like you said, the longer you spend not doing anything and actually doing damage to yourself, the further back you'll regress.
Yeah,
and it's yeah.
How did you get clean?
I was fortunate enough, and it sounds silly, but I was fortunate enough to have a probation officer that wouldn't take any more of my crap. And I was fortunate enough to have a granny cut me off completely. It is difficult. I work with a lot of parents. It's difficult because parents are like, how did you get clean? When they're, you know, a lot of parents have their
it's
kids out.
It's my child. My That's mom right. and I went through that. You will never know. He's your brother. He's my son. He's my child.
Yeah. And I have a video on my mom because one time I wanted my mom to tell me her version of my story. And if you're in recovery right now, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go to somebody that was around you when you were doing damage and ask them their version of your story and just shut up and listen. And just, don't correct them. Don't say something's a lie, whatever, because their version is their version. And my mom told me her version. And in that, she said, she was like, imagine somebody's trying to kill your kid. And then imagine, what would you feel like? And then imagine, what if that person was your kid, was your child, trying to kill your child? Like, it's the most difficult thing to move through. And my mom had to kick me, you know, she had to 86 me from, trespass me from her house, from my grandma's house, my other grandma from my dad's side. She was like my only net. And then when I had a probation officer tell me he's not going to do it, and they were sick of me. The system was sick of me. The judge was sick of seeing my face and my name across this. They're just like, done. Get him out of here. And rightfully so, because I wasn't creating a really good footprint. I was doing damage. And everywhere I went, I left damage. And we shouldn't You're not allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to do that to other people. Even damaging yourself. You're hurting somebody.
You're supposed
that
to
loves
love
you.
Yourself.
Yes. And so like, I went to jail and my granny wrote me a letter and she says, "Grant, I can't support you anymore." And for the first 2 weeks, I was like, "Granny," you know, I was mad at her and I wrote her a letter that you're just, you know, you're just as bad as my dad and my mom. Forget you, Grant. I don't ever want to hear from you again. And then she sent me another letter that says, "I'll send you books." And I was like, "Wait a minute. I'm doing time, right? I might as well read some books." And I thought about what I wanted the most. And I wanted to be a new person. I want to be a different person. I don't want to live like this anymore. I don't want to like, because once you're in that cycle, it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame, right? And I had to get kicked out of the frame by going to jail and have my granny cut me off. And then she started sending me books. And literally, I'm a captive audience. So I just want to be a different person. And so I started reading. She sent me books about yoga and meditating and establishing boundaries. And
is there such a thing as, because you've got two different fields here, is there such a thing as tough love?
There is. There is. But it's, I think how we look at tough love is like, it's like, get out of my face. I don't want to see you again until you get your stuff together. One of the best ways you can support, like my mom would always answer the phone, but she would have her boundaries established. I couldn't come over to the house. If I wanted to talk to her for a minute to get something off my chest, she would absolutely answer the phone. The second I moved towards manipulating, and that was part of my gig, I would.
I just need one meal. I just need a tank of gas.
And once she let me in there, like, so she was, there was no giving. There was only listening, and she would listen to me. But that was, I always knew that she loved me, you know?
Yeah.
No matter what. Yeah, so. Yeah.
I know. I am so on the verge right now. I just want to jump up and give you a hug. And how did Karma Boxes come out? Well, first off, how did you get clean? I mean, so really, was it just the time in jail, getting it out of your system? Or did you go to treatment after that?
I did go to treatment after that. I was supposed to spend 5 to 7 years in prison. That was like the gig. They're like, dude, that's it. You're going. And but when I when I was in there, a public defender was like, they gave me this like test and they're like, you realize you're a drug addict. And before when I would go to court and stuff like that, all of my crimes are drug related to support my habit, but they weren't drug crimes.
They were burglaries
burglaries, breaking in, things like this. And so they weren't,
they just put you in the box of he's a thief.
Yeah. And when I would go to court, I would say, you know, I would say, I'm not a drug addict. I would lie and say that I'm a high functioning member of society that just made a mistake. But the point was, I wasn't, and I wouldn't tell him that because I thought that it's a great idea not to be labeled as a drug addict. But but they got me. Part of my sentence was I finish a rehab. I go to a 3-month rehab, and then I do a year in a high intensity outpatient program. And so by the time I had went to the mountain about 3 months into being in jail, so I was in jail for about a year and went to the rehab for about 3 months. About 3 months into it, from starting to reading and learning to meditate and learning about frequency and how, what one thing that's important.
I wish more people understood about frequency.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I read Tesla. Read about how the earth is energy and everything is made up of energy.
Yeah.
You just go to a scientific, you know, fact of it. And it's all how we interact.
Yeah, and the thing is once you are mindful, what happened with me, like, is not just changing me, like what I'm doing, but it's understanding how I affect other people. Mm-hmm. And once you can wrap your head around how you affect other people, because I didn't at that time, and a lot of addicts, we have a very little self-worth, and what you keep in life is in direct proportion to what you feel like you're worth. So if you feel like you're worth nothing, you don't get to keep anything. You don't get to have jobs. You don't get to have friends or relationships or things like that if you feel like you're worth nothing.
Yeah.
And so
you just want to be numb.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's apathy, right? That's one condition above death. People are apathetic because they don't want to die, because if they were to feel all these terrible things that were happening, it would be just as bad as death, right? So you just stop feeling. And what happened was when I understood that it's not just me, is that like when I'm doing drugs and I'm hurting myself, every time I'm in jail, a little piece of my mom is in jail. Every time that I'm on the streets, a piece of my mom is homeless. Every time I take a hit of dope, my mom's an addict. Anybody that loves me or is connected to me is affected by things that I do. And when I fully wrapped my head around that and understood that there's this bigger picture, that it's bigger than me, then I was like, then that was it. Yeah. I was aggressively moving forward.
But then addicts have to understand and know that every time your mother or father says no, it takes a piece of them. Every time they say, I can't help you, it takes a piece of them. So it's the deterioration of both spirits. So hold that thought. I got to take a quick break. And then while we take the break, I'm going to give you a hug. And then we'll be back with more from Grant Denton, founder of the Karma Boxes. And we'll tell you what that's all about coming up next here on The Monica Jay Show, your live and local FM talk show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. You know, if you have a question for Grant that you would like to ask him about the family aspect and drug addiction and homelessness, please, 884-9910. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. This is something that affects all of our communities. And it is so important that we work towards a better solution. It's not Republican versus Democrat. It's not uncaring versus caring. It is people coming together and getting stuff done. People, I don't know, Grant, if you've heard, but people accuse me of just being the Wicked Witch of the West because I'm so hard on the homeless community, and I'm not. It's I want the city and I want the county and I want both cities, Sparks and Reno, to get the job done. The numbers just keep increasing. The heartache just keeps increasing. And if people are actually working to get things done, that wouldn't be happening. We see this all over the country. And people just now, Gavin Newsom says it's Trump's fault. It's not the blame game. It can't be that way. So, and I had a great call, actually, the other day when I was talking about your karma boxes.
Yeah.
Somebody from Carson City, I think I told you this, somebody from Carson City wanted to know if you would start karma boxes there.
I was at an Episcopal church yesterday. Is St. Thomas Episcopal Church or St. Peter's? Oh, crap. It's one of the saints, man. But this church was so awesome. And there's a Boy Scout out there. About a year ago, I was speaking at Carson City High School about drug addiction and the, you know, the downfall of it. And a kid up front was like, hey, man, I'm an Eagle Scout. Would you help me do this for a Eagle Scout project? And I was like, absolutely. And when I say me help, I don't know how to build boxes. Matter of fact, when I try to build them, I'm terrible at it. Not my gig, right? I'm able to motivate people and get folks bought in to, because it's
do
not
you
about
have a local carpenter or anything?
I don't. I have a friend in Washoe Valley that builds them. His name's Mike Reed. Mike Reed will build boxes for me, and other people have people just build them. People, it's a community gig, right? And I think that's why it grows so fast, is you give people ownership of stuff, and it's less likely to fail because we own it. And it's not about the box as much as it is the culture around the box, the giving culture. And now we have purpose, now we feel connected, and now there's something about a connectedness that makes us feel happy, you know?
Well, we're all connected anyway.
You're never going to get out of that.
So it just strengthens it. Yeah. It brings it to life.
But this kid, I had two out there. I had one at the first one was at the AMPM on 50. Then there was another one put at the right on North Carson. I can't remember the address right now. But then this kid went and made seven of them, placed four of them already. If you look at the Karma Box Project Facebook page, it'll have the list of them. And now he has three left and Carson Tahoe. So there's already four more. So there's six in Carson right now. And this happened like overnight. And then Carson Tahoe Medical Center just adopted four.
That's incredible.
So they're going to start playing. It's people just want to do stuff. People, how do you put it? There's a lot of platforms out there to do bad things.
Yeah.
It's really easy to do bad stuff. But there's not that many platforms to do good things.
Yeah.
If we're not paying attention, we just have to pay attention. And people want to do good stuff. And then there's the people that there's, you know, there's everybody does different things and everybody has different ways to help. So if your way to help is to do good stuff, look for a platform. If your way to help is to create things, and that's, I like creating things, it's to build platforms.
Yeah.
So,
you know, we're normally, I only have people in for about 15, 30 minutes, but I just can't get enough of you. Will you stay a little bit longer?
Sure.
Okay. I got to take a quick Fox News break here, but we'll be back with more of Grant Denton's story and the story of the Karma Boxes and how we, as a community, we can get the homeless issue solved. We can get the drug addicts. We can get the mentally ill. It's us. We work around those other guys, you know, the elected representatives. Yeah, we might need some help, but, you know, we take this on ourselves. All right, we'll be back on the Monica Jay Show at 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk right after this.
99.1 KKFT. Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1.
Exactly. The talk that matters most. 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Like, talking in the next hour about a $1 billion solar plant that was obsolete before it even went online. Guess where that solar plant is? That's right. Right here in Nevada. $1 billion. I know prices have increased, but really? Could you imagine the things Nevada could do with $1 billion if it were put into the right hands? We'll talk about that coming up later in the show. We'll also talk about a meeting that's happening tonight in Lemon Valley that if you care about the North Valleys, you will be at this meeting. I didn't say if you live in the North Valleys. I said if you care about the North Valleys and Lemon Valley in particular.
There's some people out there like, okay, all right.
There's a big difference because you know what? I hate the fact that Hillary Clinton said it because it always gets attributed to her, but it does take a village. It takes a village to fix systems. It takes a village to be heard. It takes a village to help mentor children. It helps when you've got everybody involved. So let's get back to my very special guest. His name is Grant Denton. You can find him on Facebook. You can the Karma Boxes website.
Karma Box Project on Facebook. I don't have a website.
We got to get you hooked up with
that
village because you're going so far. You know, where are the Karma Boxes in Fallon? Where are the Karma Boxes in, you know, Minden, Gardnerville? Because this is Northern Nevada. It's not Reno Sparks. It's Northern Nevada. And that's the thing is when you have a great idea, when you start to spread that word, that's when everybody starts picking it up. It's like, I didn't know I could do that. That's a great idea. That's something that I should have thought of. You know, what is a karma box for people who don't know?
A karma box is just it's just like the library boxes, but instead of putting books in them, it's non-perishable foods, waters, toiletries, and, you know, hygiene items, and, you know, maybe gloves or beanies. Socks are a big deal, or socks.
And women's and children's.
Yes, there's people that put baby formula in the boxes, and it gets utilized. There's sometimes pet food that's put in there, and it gets utilized. The idea is that if you have, you put it in there. If you can, you put something in there that somebody else could benefit from that's in need. And it does. It's really working because there's folks out there that want to do stuff for folks, and all you really have to do is just put something in a box, and moments later, an hour later, somebody will utilize it, and you'll help somebody out on a small scale. And that's the thing too, is like people are asking me, why don't I build like huge boxes? Well, because I think that'll prevent us from continuing to give in small amounts. Like it's on our end, right? On the people that gives end.
It's not supplying people with their groceries. It is to help that person who is in need at the time.
Yeah, And there's spot, and sometimes they'll walk by and there might not be anything that in there that they need. And it's, so it's not about that. It's about small things, little small seeds, little giving in a small amount. And helping somebody on a small way, but also helping you. What I've found doing this is that it's as much for the people that give as it is for the people that utilize it. It's because there's something that comes with giving. Something happens to you when you start giving, and you just want to do more. And when you start help, that's one of the pillars. And Dr. Genny says this too. Dr. Karen Genny, she says one of the pillars of creating a new life and becoming and evolving into a better person is you have to give. You have to give back to the community that you're in. Do you know, and just...
Oh, I know. I get the lecture from my husband all the time, because if we do go someplace, if we travel, I like my own stuff. I don't care if I have to go through the airport and get it scanned. I like my own stuff. I use my shampoo. I use my soap.
Yeah.
But when I get into a hotel or anything like that, I scoop up all those freebies and I put them in my bag. And then I put together little containers, little bags of shampoo, soap, mouthwash. And that's the perfect size for your karma boxes.
Oh, yeah.
And people don't think about this, but rather than just throwing stuff away, because sometimes when you order things online, the company will ship you like a little thank you. And they'll have samples of like laundry detergent or, you know, hair products, or I save those too. There's laundry soap in that box I just gave you,
yeah.
You know, because it's those little things that, you know, it's like, God, if I just was able to wash one load of clothes, you know, for a job interview or something.
Yeah. So when I was on the streets, like I did a lot of squatting, right? So we, apartments empty, breaking the apartment or whatever. And, I would, you know, I'd do my laundry in the tub, right? Sometimes without soap, but just to, you know, or you do your laundry in a sink at a terrible Herps or something, you know, you do the best you can, and it's difficult to present well when you don't look too well.
But it's hard to carry around a big thing of Tide, isn't it?
That's what the karma boxes are. It's just little small ways to for people to be able to give, and small ways to help other folks. And there's enough of them around. And like I said, Carson City's got some. Dayton has one. And Fallon has, I can't remember her name, but a lot of people reach out, and I'm terrible with names, but,
that's okay.
She's looking to put one up there, and it's a small enough community to where it'd get a lot of traction, you know? So it's just a for people, by the people kind of gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way I, you know, that's kind of how our founding fathers looked at it.
Yeah.
We take care of ourselves, but there's structure to it. You know, it can't just be a free-for-all.
No. No, I strongly agree with that. And like we were talking about earlier, it's the idea is to you know, if you want to help, you meet them where they're at and then elevate them, right? You meet them where they're at and then elevate them by allowing them to learn how to do things for themselves. The thing was is if you look at it, like when I was homeless and on the streets and a drug addict, the best ideas I could come with got me there. The best ideas I had. Right. My own ideas got me to where I was at. And that was on the streets and homeless. And in order for me to climb out of that, I had to be able to take guidance from other people that were in better places. I had to be able to. And I had, when I got out, I just had a bunch of mentors. I had to be willing to learn, and I had to be willing to take guidance. And those are that's really important. And so like when we meet people where they're at, like, so you're coming, you know, you're working with a homeless drug addict. Yeah, meet them where they're at, accept where they're at, but you must challenge them. You have to challenge them. And one of the things about growing too is self-efficacy, knowing that you're capable of doing things. And if we don't allow people an opportunity to do things for themselves and get that feeling, like, I did that, I'm the one that did that. Then they'll stay right where they're at. Like there's this, I went to this, when I got out, I was learning everything. I was going to every spiritual class I could go to. And I went to Kabbalah. Kabbalah is the, you know, Jewish spiritual mysticism. I would do anything. I wanted to learn as much as I could. And I went to this, and they talk about, in Kabbalism, they talk about, yes, oh, 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 you know. So I you spun the bracelet. Sir, they talk about the bread of shame. And the bread of shame is say, for example, I'm in a race and I'm probably going to lose this race. And somebody, my parents, push me past the finish line first, right? So they get me to win this race. Well, when I'm awarded this trophy, not only will I resent the trophy, but I'll resent my parents. So, because it wasn't me. And that's the bread of shame. Like, you didn't, like, you didn't really earn this. And if you don't challenge, if we don't challenge our people to a certain extent and allow them to earn things themselves, then we're taking that away from them.
Yeah.
We're taking that self
out. Don't get me started on everybody wins a trophy. Because that's exactly what's gotten into our school. No, I know. You are not allowed to talk about this because I will have you back and we'll talk about it. But that's the thing is, you know, we go off onto different subjects, but it's like lowering the standards for graduation.
So we
have to lift up.
Know this.
Not let down.
You can tell a lot about a person, not by how they respond to yes, but how they respond to no.
Yeah.
Right? That's how... That's how we respond to not getting what you want, right? Do we cry? Do we pout? Do we stomp around?
Yeah.
How do we respond to losing, right?
Yeah.
And what's going to determine
we don't have graceful losers anymore. Or, you know, remember when that you're a graceful winner and you're a graceful loser.
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore. Not everybody agrees with you. You have factions like your positivity. You have factions like QOL Reno, which is more religious based, more of a Bible based. You have others who are coming at people, say, you're just, you know, you're horrible and let them be, leave them alone, stop shaming them. How do you bring people together?
I don't know how to bring people together, but I know that if we were to stop, for lack of a better, if we were to stop crapping on each other, right? If one group, no matter how far right they are, can help three people, let them help three people.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they don't poo-poo anybody else, right? You should be allowed to use your method and your mode on who will respond well to your method and your mode. If other groups were, say, leave them alone, don't mess with them, and they can manage to get these people into a better place and to where they're better versions of themselves, then let them do it. As long as they're not poo-pooing the right guys, and as long as the right guys don't poo-poo them, and as long as we allow
people. Yeah, because we had others on that, you know, poo-pooing side saying that these people were lying and they scared people out of services. So you have to let people make their own decisions because that's part of the process right there.
Those people also scare people, yeah. Right? So,
yeah.
And we all scare each other. The thing is just allow people to use whatever method they're using. If their method works, whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, let them do it. And if it only helps one person, what is the value of one person? No one's to say. So like just allow people to help people and that's it. And we can't limit other people's ability to help.
Yeah. And beware of elected representatives. That's my last part. So, Grant, how can people find you? How can people get in touch with you? How can they find out more about what you're providing?
I would say my email. It's my name, grantadenton@gmail.com. Grantadenton.
No dots or anything like
no
that?
No dots.
Okay. No dots.
Straightforward.
Grantadenton.
Grantadenton@gmail.com. Or if you go to the Karma Box Project Facebook page, you can message me through that or message me through my Facebook page.
Okay.
Cool.
Your spirit is contagious and you are a light that shines so brightly that I think you're going to get us through this. So I'm going to use you as the middle point to bring everything else together.
Because
I got something in my head that I think that if you and Megan Kennedy and from the other side and Paul and me and Pat Cashel and Eddie Lorton, I think if we just sit down and just break bread, have a dinner together,
yeah,
and just talk, no yelling, no calling names.
And it's I've met with Sen, I met with Paul, and I've met with all, you know, on the other end, you know, like the folks. I've met with
stop shaming the homeless. Yeah.
Yeah. But like all of us have valid points. All of us really do. And all of us have good intentions. How we get there might upset other people, but we all just have to be open And that's it. It sounds like real simple.
And we're together. Well, we had a poll question the other day. Who should be in charge of the shelters? And it came out that over 50% going from city, county, privately, and churches, so four options, privately was the number one answer. It's just you can't have these other entities involved.
Yeah, and once we make it about the people and not our belief systems.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
If we make it about, like, we have to be able to wrap a program around the people and not the people around a program.
And not the people in Oregon, not the people in California, not the people. It has to be our people.
Yeah. So I have to tell you, when I was working on the job that I do in the streets, I went and I toured other cities' bids. And none of them are the same, because it's you have to wrap yourself around those people. We can't use Sacramento's methods. Yeah. We can't use Las Vegas. We have to use ours. We have to know our people and wrap it around them, and that is all. Yeah. And I've seen it firsthand that everybody operates a little differently based on their based on their environment.
Yeah, Grant Denton, thank you so much for coming. Thank you for being you.
Thank and you for being you.
Thank you to Granny for kicking your butt out so you got the help you needed. GrantADenton@gmail.com. We'll be back with more on Lemon Valley in the North Valley is what's going on there tonight when we come back on your live and local FM talk show, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The FM new news and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
It's all about talking. It's about getting your message out, getting your voice out, because who knows? You might be speaking for somebody else who doesn't have the guts to call in. 884-9910. Also, just thanks for being here today. I know it's Monday, it's tough, but there are things that you got to get ready for. It's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Let's go to those phone lines and check in with Denise from Lemon Valley. Hello, Denise.
Hello. How are you doing, Monica?
I'm doing great, and the fight continues, or the information battle continues. What's going on in Lemon Valley tonight?
Well, at 6 o'clock at the North Valley's Regional Park, it's inside that brick community center building, they're going to be discussing some changes that they want to make, which it's in almost a foreign language. they want to change part of the Washoe County Master Plan to remove all references to the Reno-Stead Corridor Joint Plan from the North Valley's Area Plan, and to, it says sunset, but it looks to me like they're going to be trying to do changes from low density and general rural to medium density suburban, which that changes how tall the buildings can be, how far from the street they can be, how far the houses have to be from the sides, and how many houses, this is what really concerns us, is how many houses can go onto 1 acre, where they last made a change where it was 4 houses per acre, and high density would be 8 houses. Now, the way that the language is written on the Washoe County website, it's really difficult to understand what they're actually going to be doing. But the meeting starts at 5:30. Danny's saying 5:30, not 6. Oh,
5:30.
6. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. I'm reading my emails while I'm talking to you.
I do the same thing on the air. This is okay.
we So we need to have a show of force. We need people to be there, demand answers, and you know, we need to make sure that Washoe County is actually protecting the residents that live out here. There have been no changes, no fixes to the flooding problem.
Denise, it's not just protecting the residents of Lemon Valley. It's protecting the integrity of all of Northern Nevada, because good fences make good neighbors. But if that fence is right up against your house and you can still hear people fighting, if you can still hear babies crying, if you can still hear people flushing toilets, it creates an aggravation in people. And it's just not a good quality of life for people. So North Valley's Regional Park, 5:30 tonight. If you care about Northern Nevada, you need to go to this meeting and make sure that they don't change these plans to lessen our quality of life. It's 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. The Monica J. Show, I'm glad you're here.